Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Gerard, do you feel bad for Aaron Gordon?
I mean, no. Aaron Gordon's a multimillionaire and is an NBA champion. I mean, his life is good. Yeah, he lost game 7 and has a bum hamstring. But I mean, in the grand scheme of life, he is just fine.
No, in the grand scheme of life, he's fine. It's just, man, he came back and he was playing his ass off. Early on.
I always thought that was a bad idea, B. I was like, because I could tell. I was like, oh, you're hanging on the other end while the other team's shooting free throws is because you don't want to run up and down because your hammy's not good. Like, and you had a potential of potentially tearing it more or like making it worse. So look, I get it. You gut it out. And we have this whole thing in sports culture where we're like, oh, how courageous, how tough. Okay, great. But ultimately, you were not helpful for your team winning, right? Your team got blown out.
I mean, so. He tried. He did what he could. Rob, with the comment immediately, we appreciate it. Questions, comments, super chats, all welcome throughout. We will be live for a bit here talking about the conference finals because we're finally here after a 7-game series in this round. Rob says, two fun matchups coming. Can't wait. Us either. That's why we're here. Gerard Hector, True Hoop. Follow him on Blue Sky, Twitter, and obviously True Hoop. And also, Real Madrid.
You have
yeah. What's happening?
I have a Real Madrid podcast. It's the Real Deal. A Real Madrid podcast. It's just something that I'm into because I like World Association football. I'm a Real Madrid fan. Hala Madrid. So it's just fun. Season's practically over for us. We got one more La Liga game left, but who cares? Now we're thinking about Club World Cup off season. We already got some great signings. So yeah, just me out here making content, having a good time, giving you on that channel, as I do with my boy Brian and other people that talk sports, nuance. Yes. I am not here for hot takes, and I don't do that.
So some may happen. All that, some may happen.
I mean, some may happen, yes. But I don't necessarily come out here like, the Boston Celtics gave it. Like, you're not going to get that from me. That's not what I do. So if you were looking for that, I'm sorry.
There's a lot to get to. I think we're going to have two very, very fun, potentially classic series. But then we say that, and then we might have 2-5 gamers because these playoffs have been super weird. We'll start with the West because that's where we are right now, where Oklahoma City beats the shit out of Denver 125-93.
And it wasn't that close.
And Denver pulled the plug early. It was 30 plus, but like 9-10 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it was like, whatever.
Ryan, I think they knew because Denver went for the knockout punch in the first quarter. Their hope was, all right, we are gassed and we're going to put all our energy into getting as big a lead as we can in the first quarter and hope this young team folds under the pressure because they can't handle it. And, you know, we are the Denver Nuggets, and the scenario and the situation overawes them. But what Oklahoma City did at the end of that first quarter was pull that to within 5 or 6. And then I put out a tweet where I said, because basically I looked at how they closed that quarter. Well, I said, this is how they win the game. You amp up that number one league leading defense where you're doing multiple efforts. You're turning them over. You get out and run and you wear this team down because Denver only goes 6 deep. So, and you guys go 8-9 deep when Dagnall's not feeling nervous, right? So I was like, you guys do that and you'll be fine. And that's exactly what they did. And once they got up double digits in the second quarter, it was a wrap. Game over.
Once that run happened, that was where everything changed. It looked uneasy before that. But really, even before, because Denver got off to a very good start. Like, they threw the first couple punches. You could say they won the first, in boxing terms, they won the first round, if you will. Or the first couple rounds, maybe, if you want to extend it to two. And then Oklahoma City just kind of figured it out. And the defensive pressure, like, they remind people, this is the best defense in the league. This is statistically one of the best defenses that we've seen. Mm-hmm. And this is why, one, the series they're about to have is so fascinating. But two, why they're really good. And while I do have some concerns about the secondary offense and just the general age, because you haven't done it yet, but you haven't done it until you do. Correct. And this is a wide open championship. And honestly, if a team is going to knock off OKC, like, why does it have to be the Knicks, Pacers, or Timberwolves? You know, like, if we're adhering to, hey, this young team hasn't been tested, but it's like, I mean, they could beat these teams. There's no like 96 Bulls or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what makes these playoffs so interesting. It's like OKC has a pathway. So does Minnesota. So do the Knicks. So do the Pacers. But keeping it to the Western Conference in particular, I mean, do you feel like we learned something about Oklahoma City in this series?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Brian, there's a saying that experience is the most brutal teacher because it gives you the test first, then the lesson, right? And one of the things that we know about watching basketball, as we have for a long time, me a bit longer than you, as I'm showing my age with my gray hair, there is this old adage, right, of you have to go through playoff heartbreak and all of that before you are ready to get to the next level. And for the most part, that is true. But it doesn't always work in that way. The example I love giving is the Golden State Warriors. Folks, they won one. Matter of fact, they did not even win a playoff series prior to that. The year before they won the championship, they lost that game 7 to the LA Clippers in round 1. Mm. The next year, they win the championship, right? Like, so, and they didn't have a whole lot of playoff success prior to that to get them. It wasn't a whole lot of, oh, we got to the conference finals, here's our heartbreak. They didn't have a whole lot of that. None of that happened for them.
Do you count that as, so is that enough? I guess this is the subjective part, but does that count as heartbreak, even losing? That's a game 7. It's right. Round 1 only.
Right.
But like, I get the point.
Yes, it's heartbreak. But I think my larger point about it, Brian, is that the lesson doesn't have to be, okay, you lose in round 1, then you lose in round 2. It doesn't have to be that way, right? And it also doesn't be you have to lose a couple years in a row. It can be one, like last year. OKC was the 1 seed last year, losing in the second round. And this year, they make it all the way and win it. Because the lessons happen while the playoffs are going on. They learned a lot about themselves in this 7-game series. So the forging themselves through the fire happened in this series. It is happening in real time. They are learning right now and experiencing in real time how we get better. Here's how we execute in the clutch. Here's how we do what we have to do. Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams are learning about themselves and learning about the playoffs in real time. So that can happen in the current year that you win it.
They also lost last year to who became the Western Conference champions.
Correct.
And I think looking at that, that may be enough. And if you look at just Shea, because usually this gets attributed to the stars, it doesn't get attributed to the whole team.
Right.
And, you know, J-Dub and Chet don't have a whole bunch of playoff experience under their belt. But Shea was there even in the bubble. Mm-hmm. He was there when they lost in the first round to, I believe that was the Houston Rockets. And then getting there last year, like, I was one of the people at Action who felt like, yeah, Dallas will win this series, not just off of experience, but also like as good as they are defensively, Luka's a problem for everyone on that team, mm-hmm. and they can get enough shooting. And that's kind of what happened. And that was my fear in this game. It was like, oh, they're not hitting the shots. They started off 2 for 10 from three, but then it was like steal, breakaway, steal, breakaway, steal, breakaway. And then eventually they hit their shots. Their offensive process got cleaned up and Denver just didn't really have a lot of answers here. Rob drops in another comment. This is the most unpredictable series for me so far in these playoffs. So much inconsistency. I think Knicks Celtics might be the most unpredictable one for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You don't know about injuries. Like, someone can twist an ankle tomorrow. And
now,
like, I have no idea.
Now, Rob, on a game-to-game basis, like, this one is up there also in terms of, like, this series and the Knicks Celtics series had me questioning what I know a lot. Dex chimes in. He's excited for both conference finals, and he thinks both series are going to be long. And that's our guy Dex. Watch us both doing the watch along on the New York Post sports channel. We've had Gerard on,
yes, sir.
And every Knicks playoff game. So the entire Knicks Pacers series and potentially one after if Knicks get it done. We will be there every game.
I will say it's worth.
I think Dex is right though. I expect two long series, but
yeah, the series should be long. I think it's worth noting that in this 7-game series, all the Nuggets wins are by close margins, and two of the four Thunder wins were massive blowouts, and that's indicative to instructive to me, right? Because that tells me that when playing at their best, one team is significantly better than the other. And I do believe Oklahoma City is significantly better than the Denver Nuggets. The difference is that the Nuggets have the world's best problem solver in Nikola Jokic, right? Like that's the thing. And to be fair, this series could have been wrapped in six, right? Had the Oklahoma City Thunder held on to that lead in game one and game
three.
It
was three because I think Denver had a 2-1 lead.
Right. And so it was. But again, that's where they learned lessons.
Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat.
Here's how we hold on to leads. Here's how we execute down the stretch. Right. And again, one thing I love about Oklahoma City, Brian, which is and about any team, that defense is what their calling card is. That old adage of defense traveling and right. Because defense is about collective effort, will, spirit, and understanding your matchups, right? Like shots go in and out, whatever. But defense is, right? That defense is a consistent thing that you can always bring to the table. And when the Thunder, with their long athletes and all their rotations, when they turn you over and they get out and run, that helps their offense, right? Like obviously, that gives them more possessions. And then they crushed the Nuggets today, like in turning them over, like I want to say 16, 17 times. Like, I mean,
felt just like 3,000.
I mean, yeah.
It's debilitating.
Listen,
as someone who played on a team that that turned the ball over a lot at one point, it sucks. It sucks watching the other team just like boop and just steal it back. And as someone who used to get steals when he played in high school, it's the best feeling in the world. It's the best. Going coast to coast. Oh, my goodness. When you're short and you can't score a bunch of
other ways. So I expect the long series. I think, look, Ant will have his say. And, you know, Ant going against this defense will be interesting. Shea going against Minnesota's defense will be interesting. You know, but ultimately, yes, I know they split the regular season 2-2, but I just think that
who was out, who was in,
right,
like,
right,
you know, what I time think ultimately, of the year, who was on yep, the back-to-back.
Correct. I think ultimately Oklahoma City is the better team. Yes, Minnesota has conference finals experience because they were there last year. But at the end of the day, If you are in the conference finals, that means you have a legit shot of going to the NBA finals. So what, you 50-50 shot, 1-2. So, and obviously then the odds say more because Oklahoma City's favored to actually win the whole thing. So
they are. It's funny that you say that. Let's actually look up the odds right now. So Oklahoma City's favored by 7.5 in the very first game, and they're favored -150 to win the title. Knicks are +425, then Minnesota +550, then Indy +600 to win the series. Oklahoma City is -330, Minnesota's +265. This is basically just open, so we'll see how that moves.
Yeah, I think that what's interesting to me, Brian, is, and I understand why the Thunder have that big spread in game one, despite them going long and going seven,
yeah,
I always give the edge to the team that has just recently come off a long series in game one, because in an odd way, their intensity level is already ratcheted up, right?
They're in form, to use a football term.
Correct. Whereas Minnesota's been off since what, last Wednesday?
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yes.
Right. So yeah, you can scrimmage all you want, but they're not in NBA conference finals like the Thunder were just in a do or die game. You lose that game, you're going home. So they're a little bit more prime. So I do understand why they have the edge in game one.
I need to look up the numbers as to who game one typically benefits in this situation. But as we learned from last round, Russ didn't win the, you know, sort of rest or whatever battle that was. I think I fucked it up a little bit, but you get what I'm saying, where it's like, like all the teams that were rested, like Cleveland lost.
Right. Now, you know, to be also clear, Cleveland and Boston also dealt with injuries, right? So that aided in those other two teams winning. Yeah. But yes.
Nick fans ain't trying to hear that. We'll get to the Eastern Conference Finals in a bit. But
every team that wins a title gets injury benefits that play in their favor.
No one wants to say that out loud, though. But it's true.
But
it is true.
It's just a fact.
It's especially the case now.
Yeah.
More so than when we were all children.
Listen.
And people were playing, like, people were practicing, actually.
That Golden State team, I said, that won their first title. They had the benefit of playing every team in the playoffs without their starting point guard, including in the NBA Finals, the Cavaliers without Kyrie Irving.
And like, without Kevin Love.
Right. It matters. I'm sorry. I'm not taking away their championship, but that matters.
Yeah. I mean, I bring this up about Milwaukee the year after the COVID year where everybody got hurt.
I mean, let's be honest. Milwaukee won by literally a Kevin Durant toe on a line when he basically played by himself. He beat them almost by himself. Right. Yeah. So
and
injuries
don't
matter.
And I don't know if the Nets would have won that title, but they would have been the favorites, is what I would say.
I think they might. I think they would have.
So going back to this, I want to ask you about Minnesota.
Yeah.
Do you feel like we are overstating or at the risk of overstating how good they are a little bit because strength of playoff schedule, if you will, because they beat an incomplete Laker team who has no centers. Mm-hmm. And they beat a Golden State Warriors team without Stephen Curry,
right?
Who also have no centers.
Yeah.
Now you're going to face a team with
two centers,
right. Although
one and a half.
Yeah. Right. But size everywhere. Mm-hmm. A much better Golden State's a pretty good defense now, but a much better defense. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers are not. They're not anyone's.
You're playing 5-on-4 because Luke ain't guarding nobody.
LeBron ain't either. It's 5-on-3.5. Although he was guarding in the playoffs, he's trying, but still. But like, are we overstating Minnesota a little bit, or do you think they have a really legit chance of beating the Thunder here?
I think in the collective consciousness, in terms of NBA Twitter, yes, because the Lakers and the Warriors are known commodities because they have three of the most popular celebrities in all of basketball in LeBron, Luka, and Steph, right? So,
and two of the four most popular brands in the sport.
Right. So anytime you beat those teams, it's going to give, right? All the talking heads on the shows are going to talk about, oh, they're going to hype you up, because even though I didn't think the Lakers were going to do anything this postseason, nor that I think the Warriors are going to do anything this postseason. That's just me from watching the basketball and knowing what I know. Now, that doesn't mean they're bad. Do I think they have a chance? Of course they do. They're in the conference finals. They 100% have a chance.
Sure.
However, I do think if Oklahoma City plays at their best, I do believe that they are the better team and they will win this series.
I'm in the same place. I wonder how, because we've talked a lot about just not you and I, but the collective NBA sphere of commentators have been talking about Julius Randle and his playoff emergence, because he's never had a good playoff series until right now, mm-hmm. where he's had a couple. And I also look at that and I'm like, while I give him credit, again, I need to see what it looks like against Chet, mm-hmm. Isaiah Hartenstein, and even mm-hmm. some of the bigger wings, mm-hmm. you know, on OKC. J-Dub. Mm-hmm. J-Dub, for example. Mm-hmm. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, also mm-hmm. a good
Casey
defender.
Wallace. Lou Casey Dort.
Alex Caruso. Like, you know, it keeps on going. And I do wonder, like, what's that going to look like with OKC? Like, I'm not as worried. And it's not just young legs. I'm not as worried about them coming off this long series. And they're just good enough. They play a lot. Like, they play a lot in terms of, like, their rotation is mm-hmm. a deep rotation. Them and Indy mm-hmm. have the two deepest rotations left, mm-hmm. which I think is going to be interesting to see how these strategies bear out in a series where now it's every other day. Yeah. It's every other night now.
I think that matters. I think it matters.
I think that matters a ton in terms of, you know, rotations, and to have like Tibbs on one side, on the Knicks side, and then with Minnesota, like we'll see what happens there. But with OKC, like what is the thing? I think for both teams, actually, what do you think is most important from a strategic standpoint? Like, what does OKC have to get to? And what does Minnesota have to get to really put their stamp on this series?
For OKC, it's about the defensive intensity and the multiple efforts, again, and generating chaos and turnovers. You know, you mentioned Alex, we both mentioned Alex Caruso at the same time. Let's sing his praises for a second here as I get into my point. You know, the average fan looks at his stat line and is like, oh, no big deal. But again, if you watch the game,
they also look at him and be like,
well, right. Exactly. But you watch the game and you see how he impacts possessions and winning. And in the playoffs, that's what matters. Winning possessions. It's Alex Caruso forcing Christian Braun to travel in the corner. That's a wasted possession. You get nothing, right? It's Alex Caruso getting a tip, forcing you now to have to go back to pick up the ball. Now you're taking a shot late in the clock, contested, hand, right? It's all these little things that's making your offense harder and harder to generate. Those are wins, right? Help leading you to a missed shot that is a win. So for me, if the Oklahoma City Thunder can engage defensively in that way consistently in this series, I give them a huge leg up. And then it is their secondary and tertiary offense. When they get bogged down because, yeah, they got to stop at the other end, but Minnesota gets back, so they're not able to get out and run, right? How is Jalen Williams, how is Dagnall getting Chet, Jalen Williams, to get secondary and tertiary offense created? And will Cason Wallace, all those guys, shoot the three with confidence? Because that's the big thing. I noticed in this game when it started, you mentioned the Nuggets, you know, kind of hit them in the mouth first. A lot of what I saw, because they were getting looks, Brian, the Thunder players besides Shai all looked nervous shooting the ball. A lot of short-arming it, and it was mm-hmm. the moment of, oh my God, this is a game seven. And I wonder, like, if now that they've gotten that under their system, like, okay, but ultimately it's a basketball game, right? Like, the rim's the same size. Ain't nothing changed. The court's the same dimensions, right? So shoot it with confidence. And I want to see how those guys doing that now that the stakes are ratcheted up, because I'm like, if we win this, we're going to the big show for the big gold prize.
And I think that's super important because they lost game six. Mm-hmm. So that's the other piece of it. It's like you had the chance to close it out. Mm-hmm. And honestly, you in that game, like, in the game, it was a winnable game for them mm-hmm, mm-hmm. at some point. But Julian Strother went absolutely berserk. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And again, I hope he plays in the America Cup this year.
and you have to be okay with that, right? Know that somebody from the other team who you don't think about is going to go berserk. And you
role players win championships.
You cannot let that get you home and free. Hey, man, run your stuff. Do what you got to do. Now on the Minnesota side, sure. Can their defense be consistent enough? Can Rudy and Julius Randle, can they rebound well enough in this series? McDaniels be a consistent three-point shooter and knock down shots? Because they're gonna sag off him to not get, like, yeah, you prove to us that you can beat us, then we'll see about coming out to guarding you, right? Mm-hmm. Is that gonna mess with him, or is he gonna take advantage of that? I'm not really worried about Ant, because Ant's gonna do what Ant does, right?
Are you sure?
Well, in the sense that he is not going to be afraid of the moment.
Sure.
However, that could potentially be his downfall.
Right.
Because Ant can be like, hey, none of y'all don't want this? Okay, I want this. And he'll get that Kobe system in his head and try to go 1-on-5. And I'm like, bruh, you got to, come on. You got to trust your teammates, dish the rock, move the ball, all that.
This is the ultimate thing for me, because secondary offense, I think one is it's a question on both sides.
For sure.
In terms of the viability of it. Like Julius Randle has to prove it again and prove it now in this series, more so against double big lineups and against quicker and
Brian,
wings.
If it's not working, is he dribble down the clock and his aunt getting mad, staying in the corner, being like, yo, MF-er, like, come on, man. Like, right? Like, no, I do wonder about that.
And the other thing here is like, again, with Ant, not that these guys are going to stop him, but you have a lot of options to throw at Ant that really you only need to throw at Ant. There's not another guard on the team where you're like, oh shit, we got to account for them. It's not playing like, I don't know, like LeBron and Wade back in the day, so to speak. LeBron's not a guard, although technically, you know, maybe.
We're playing guard, that Nets team with Kyrie and Harden, right?
That Nets team with Kyrie and Harden.
Right.
I mean, or
forget about Durant, but yeah, the two guards, right? You got to throw stuff.
Yeah, and also Durant. This is true. You know what I mean? Shit. Or even like, even on the other side with Indiana, like, listen, Andrew Nembhard's a real dude in the postseason.
I mean,
like,
he's a real dude for all seasons.
Period.
Like, I mean, you watch him play.
Real, so like,
he's incredible.
Yeah. So with Oklahoma, it's like, again, Caruso will get some. Jalen Williams will get Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, even Lou although Dort. I don't know how much. Lou Dort is probably the big one. Like
Wallace is gonna get some.
Cason Wallace, and I feel like we're even missing a guy or two.
If they if Wiggins plays, which they do on the bench, Wiggins will get some on
him. Yeah, and look, if Wiggins makes shots, he's gonna play. That's ultimately what it comes down to for him. He had a nice step back three today that I sure thought did. Was big for him to go in. I want to throw this at you also, and then we'll get into the Eastern Conference. We'll do predictions, then we'll get to the Eastern Conference. But just a stat real quick. So per 100 possessions in the postseason, of all the teams remaining, obviously just four, Minnesota averages by far the most turnovers per 100. And remember, there were times against the Warriors, particularly where they would get sloppy with the ball. You know, Jimmy would get a deflection or Gary Payton the second, you know, Jonathan Kuminga even had like some real viability in that series. Average almost 16 turnovers per 100 possessions. Not ideal. The least before tonight, and it's still going to be the case because Oklahoma City had 9 turnovers in the game. They averaged less than 11. It was 10.9 turnovers per 100 possessions. Once that updates, it's going to be very, very minimal. Yeah. And if anyone's curious, the Knicks are at 13.5 and Indiana is at about 13. So not much difference there between the East teams. But that's almost 5+ turnovers of a difference between Minnesota and Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City, along with not turning the ball over a ton, they make sure that you turn the ball over a lot.
And turnovers are one of those things, Brian, is that like oftentimes when they start, they kind of, it's like a bleeder, right? They kind of just keep coming. And so when Oklahoma City's cranking, like they did today, when they, from the end of that first quarter, basically through till the Nuggets to the white wave the white flag, they amped up that D and man, they got, and really all series, they forced Jokic to turn the ball over a ton. Because the secondary help was always coming from his blind side where he didn't see it coming, right? And it's because of the way they ball pressure, right? They pressure the ball so far up front that the help has to come from this side because Jokic has no other option. He can't go back this way because of the ball pressure, right? And so you turn, boom, here we go. Now we're going the other way. And listen, and Jokic is, as I said, the best problem solver. Minnesota don't got no problem solver as good as him, right? So I just, again, if they turn over at that clip, this is going to be a problem for them in this series.
Okay. I'm going to say, as my prediction, and again, as new information comes out, meaning if things look shaky after 1-1 or whatever, you have to evolve with new information. Like, for example, I thought the Celtics would beat the Knicks in 5, and then after game 2, I was like, oh.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
The Knicks are probably going to win this series.
Correct.
And after game three, I was like, after game four, I was like, oh, the Knicks got this series. But I was like, it'll be in six because they'll blow game five. And they absolutely did that. As it pertains to this, I'm going to go with Thunder in six. Over five and a half games is minus 150. So the expectation is for this to be a little bit of a long one.
Yeah. I was leaning that way, but you know, I'm going to go Thunder and five.
I thought about it.
I'm going to go Thunder and five. Tell me why. For that turnover stat that you mentioned, once you told me like that they were the number one turnover team, I was like, okay.
And I know why. Left. Yeah.
But it's because of the way that Ant and Julius Randle get dribble happy with the ball, right? Mm-hmm. And listen, the worst thing you can do against a team with active hands is be dribble happy, okay? Because they're going to take it from you, right? They're going to put Caruso and all the – and when you watch these guys, Brian, they're – wingspan, their arms are long as shit, so they can dig in there and get, and that's, look, we saw Golden State turned them over a ton. They just couldn't score without Steph. Well, this team doesn't have that problem because they're gonna get out and run. So
Minnesota could win this series.
They could, but, for sure,
but yeah, 1000%. But I think Thunder in five would surprise me less than the Minnesota winning this series. But we'll see. I mean, look, rest advantage. And also, unfortunately, injuries tend to determine these things. So,
hopefully
both teams are healthy. Hopefully, all teams remaining are healthy. But we know that statistically and just in 2025, this is not going to be the case. With that, we go to the East. And officially, I'm on Thunder in six. Gerard's on Thunder in five. To the Eastern Conference, we go. Knicks Pacers.
Ooh,
you're watching rematch. This in 2025, not in 2000. I don't think this I don't think any a lot of this existed in 2000 in it this way.
So
I wouldn't know, but
it definitely did not.
Okay, I don't know what to do with this series, and then sometimes I feel like, you know what, I have a strong like thought on this or whatever the case may be, because they both super surprise us. Contextually, going into the Cleveland Pacers series, Darius Garland's out. Big deal. I think underrated.
Huge deal.
Underrated.
Their second primary offensive creator. Like,
and their primary playmaker, initiator, yes, like right. Setting guys up. Like he's a legit point guard. One right. of the last ones left. And he was out.
Mobley
and then,
was out.
And then Evan Mobley missed game two.
Best player of the year.
And DeAndre Hunter.
I mean,
that means
three of their top five rotation guys out. That's going to matter.
Like, Rob says Wolves in six in the chat. Okay, Rob.
I see you, Rob. You're liking the Wolves.
We'll revisit this. There's a case.
There's certainly a case.
But going back to it. So Darius Garland misses game one. Pacers just steamrolled them for the most part. It wasn't a blowout, but it kind of felt that way when you were watching it. And then game two, the Cavs just blow it, and they're missing three of their five best players because DeAndre Hunter and Evan Mobley on top of Darius Garland are out. So then you get to Andy Duncan comments, Wolves in five. All right, Andy.
I don't know about that one, Andy.
All right, Andy.
On that one.
All right, Andy. We'll see. I like the
confidence, though.
I like the confidence in the Wolves. They're playing fun basketball right now. But sticking with the East. Pacers, man, like they really showed teams and a lot of people something, I feel like. This is, and even with the context of the Cavs like sort of falling apart from an injury perspective, and Donovan Mitchell didn't even look awesome toward the end of it, but
he's also like, hurt.
I think the Pacers are legit. I think last year they didn't really have a defense. This year they do. They have an identity. They could go 10, even 11 deep. Their defense was actually in the top like 13-ish in the NBA. They were one spot higher than the Knicks. That's a big difference for me. Their offense is more balanced, so they're not going to just try to like stand around a three-point line and pass it around and fall into the same trap Boston did at times where they were like getting too three-point happy and not generating clean looks. Mm-hmm. But with Indiana, like they'll attack. They'll also shoot. They'll hit you from the mid-range. Like they have the most balanced offense of everyone left, I feel like.
So Indiana didn't surprise me from the standpoint of I wasn't like everyone else who thought that last year's conference finals run was a fluke. I didn't think that.
Okay. Even with the injury context of, because Knicks fans will be like, oh, the Knicks only lost because everyone fell apart.
You lost game seven at home by like 35 points. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Like, whatever. Sure. Like, I mean, like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, they beat that ass. Like,
I was reminded recently that Indy made seven of their first like nine threes. Everybody, from the beginning, it was like,
the other piece of that series, Tyrese Halliburton was not good in that Knicks series at all. He was not healthy. So, and here's why Indiana doesn't surprise me. They, Brian, they play with a relentless effort and pace on offense that no one else plays at. Kenny Atkinson talked about it in the post game. He was like, they just keep coming at you in waves and waves and waves. And this is the future of the NBA, Brian. Teams that go, like we talked about, 8, 9, 10 deep are the future of who's going to win these series. Because when your starters are going 40, whatever, like let's go back to the Nuggets series. Adelman could not keep Jokic and Murray off the floor because every time he did, the Thunder would surge a little. So, okay, we have to put those guys back in. But Oklahoma City didn't have to match you star for star. They could keep their bench in. They could maintain, and then now the starters come in, and they're fresher, and now your starters are exhausted, and we're running down your throat, right? Like, and that is how the Pacers played last season. That's how they played this season. Now, they're more balanced this season. Halliburton's healthier this year than he was last year, so that matters. And to your point, defensively, they are better. So not only is their pace good on offense, they play with a pace on offense, they play with a pace and intensity on defense. Picking you up like Andrew Nembhard does, full court, three-quarter court. Now, most people watching don't think that matters, but it does matter because one, there's an anaerobic tax your body goes under when you have to, oh, I got to huff and puff to get the ball past this guy just to get over half court, right? Number one. Number two, now I'm starting my actions at 11 on the shot clock instead of at 17 on the shot clock. Mm. And we know from statistics, the later you start your first action in the shot clock, the lower chance you have of making a shot. It's just math, folks. I don't know what to tell you. Like, I know all of you are like, you hate math and think nerds are ruining basketball. Like, that's not about being a nerd, or it's just a fact. You would much rather think about it. You want more time in the shot clock than less time.
Sure.
Right? That's just what you want. And so when a team forces you to do things late, now you're into hero shot mode. And now guys got to bail me out. And look, Jalen Brunson might be the best hero ball tough shot maker in the NBA right now. However, and I said this to Dexter when I was on with you guys at the live show, that reason right there is to me what makes their ceiling as an NBA title contender nerve-wracking, because four straight rounds of having to make tough shots over tough defense, I mean, your legs are going to give out at some point. Like, you're not going to be able to do it. Like, at some point it's going to be like, we can't. Now they do have an X factor in Karl Anthony Towns, right? However, again, we talked about this team in Indiana between Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, Aaron Nesmith, like Benedict Mathurin off the bench, who is just like, not only is he scoring, the reason why he's playing is because he's actually giving an effort and competing on defense. That's why he wasn't playing last year. Carlisle was like, if you don't compete on defense, you're not going to play. He said, all right, man, so he's doing that and he's scoring. So this team doesn't surprise me. So I love what I see out of them, but I got to say, New York Knicks fans, there is an ability this team has, Brian, to just compete. And that is a skill. Competing hard is a skill. And the Knicks as a collective and individually do that maybe better than any team left in this postseason. And that on its own might be good enough for that's just two wins right there on its own, just because they compete harder, right? That's two wins flat just because they compete harder.
Yeah.
So, you know.
It's a lot. Like, I have so many questions that I need answered about this series, about how, like, that we won't know until we start watching games. And this could be a series where, as a lot of series are, game to game, just different. Mm-hmm. Just different from the last. And it's like, with Jalen Brunson, similar to what we were just talking about with OKC and Anthony Edwards, like, you have a lot of options. It's not to say that these guys are going to stop Jalen Brunson. I'm not sure you can. You have a lot of options to try to bother him, essentially. Slow him down, get him off
he
rhythm.
Was bothered by them in that last year's series. He yeah. was.
He had less help. True. And this is where Karl Anthony Towns is going to be important, because on the other side of Jalen Brunson, you mentioned Andrew Nembhard. Also, Aaron Nesmith is a realistic option. TJ McConnell is an option.
He's another one of those annoying dudes to play basketball against, TJ McConnell. Annoying yes. as shit.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, you mentioned Benedict Mathurin. Mm-hmm. When in doubt with Jalen Brunson, you just throw size on
put
him.
Size on him. Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, all right, if he can survive on him, like, that's a win for the Pacers. And it's something I could see where Carlisle trying in small spurts. I don't mm-hmm. think, like, the primary is going to be between Nembhard and Nesmith.
For sure.
For the most part.
And the other thing, Brian, yeah. if the referees don't do that thing where every time Jalen Brunson falls down, they call a foul.
See, because this is why the low-key most brilliant move in the NBA over the last couple of years was Jalen Brunson styling his hair the way that he has. Okay, because now, when you pop it back, you know what I mean? This is why when you're a boxer, you don't do it. You have to have short hair, because if you get hit,
then it looks like you're getting
it looks bad. Scoring. It looks like you're getting rocked. You know, this is why Devin Haney almost made this mistake against Vasily Lomachenko, where he had the high hair and it was a different color. And it was like flopping around every time he would get hit.
I want to be clear about something. Jalen Brunson is an elite basketball player with yes. elite footwork.
Yes.
He is also a very strong individual. Very. He's like a fire hydrant. Very mm-hmm. strong. So do not get fooled by every time he ends up on the floor. Oh, someone. No. He knows what he's doing. And it's because psychologically, it plays tricks on you. When you see, and I don't care what you and Dexter say, that dude is 5'11". When you see a 6'7" dude on him and you see a 5'11" guy fall on the floor, your natural inclination is, the big guy must have pushed him, because look how much bigger he is than him. And Jalen's a master of that. He can stay on his own 2 feet, but he falls down because he knows more often than not the refs are going to fall for it and give me a foul call. If, however, they don't do that as much, that's something to be mindful of, because especially if it's a live ball and the ball gets on the ground and Indiana then gets out, and that's a problem, right? So just be mindful of that.
Indiana was 7th in pace this year, and I think that may surprise people who thought it was faster, but it's also because their defense was better. Like, that's a sort of a little bit of a trade-off, mm-hmm. whereas last year the pace was even more relentless. But still, they're faster than everyone left. Mm-hmm. It might not even be that close. I got to see what OKC's pace was, but it might not even be that close. Okay. Jalen Brunson, there's that question. Karl Anthony Towns in this series mm-hmm. is going to be
huge,
one way or another. Mm-hmm. Like, really good, bad.
Yeah.
Like, because, listen, there's an offensive pathway to him being dominant if he could just hit shots, if he could take advantage of matchups.
He's not wrong when he says, I'm the greatest shooting big man of all time. Like, let's put it this way. There ain't 5 big men in the history of basketball you're taking over him shooting. Like, he is an elite offensive player. Elite.
One thing is hitting the shots. The other thing is punishing mismatches, because this is another team that's going to be, all right, we'll throw a wing on you. Mm-hmm. Like Jrue Holiday, mm-hmm. like Tobias Harris beforehand. Mm-hmm. And I wonder who that's going to be. Maybe it's Nesmith.
They might throw Nesmith. They might throw Nembhard on him from time to time.
Yeah, I think Carlisle might do that, because you might have Siakam elsewhere. Although
Siakam will get his turn too.
Yeah, he might get the majority of it, but I do wonder how Carlisle is going to play this, and we'll eventually find out in game one. The thing is, he has to make them pay for that, and some Knicks fans will say, "Well, they have to draw up more plays for him when he has those mismatches." And it's like, when you're making that much money, you can call for the ball. Mm-hmm. And you can get the ball.
Yeah, you don't need to
like
call.
That's just how the NBA is.
Yeah, and his teammates got to recognize that, right? When he's got a mouse in the house, like, space properly. Don't just throw in the ball with 2 dudes who are like, cut through, give him the proper space so the help can't come and dig down. And then, yeah.
And the Knicks have a bunch of good passers in their starting lineup. They don't have an elite one. The Pacers have an elite one. They actually have maybe Halliburton. They have the second or third best passer in the world right now.
He's so good.
Or fourth, depending on, because like, Jokic, LeBron, Luka, mm-hmm. Tyrese is in that class. Trae Young.
He's so good.
Trae Young might be rounding out the top 5.
These are elite passers.
This is where Halliburton is. Mm-hmm. And this is important, because the Knicks, they can give up a lot of threes at times. as we've seen, not just against the Celtics, but also the Pistons, high quality looks as well. And Tyrese is great at just giving you the ball where you need it as a shooter. And that's also why the Pacers have these very good shooting performances. And my biggest Towns thing is Miles Turner. Mm-hmm. Miles Turner is going to try and do what Kristaps Porzingis could not do, physically could not do. Mm-hmm. And that is be like, I'm going to stand at 27 feet, yep, at 7 feet tall.
And you have to come out and guard me. Yeah.
Stretch you out and I'm going to shoot. Mm-hmm. And good luck, because I can make this shot from above the break. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could also do it from the mid range, mm-hmm, but I prefer to do it above the break to stretch you out even further and to compromise your defense. Mm-hmm. And if Miles Turner is having a good 3-point shooting series, that is worrisome.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's going to force Tibbs his hand, right? What do I do? Right. Do I go small, right? Like, how do I combat that? Right. Do I get someone to get up into Miles Turner?
Or does he double down and like, all right, Mitchell Robinson,
or he's go right. Go double big and go fine. We'll get Mitch in there. He'll grab every available rebound. And then, you know,
yeah, they have a size advantage with that. You know, they have a double big look.
They sure do. Viable. What I will say about this series is, if you are the Knicks, you don't want to chase the Pacers in this series. So for me, winning game one is critical for the Knicks. Because if the Pacers are up 1-0, well, now you know you're already extending, right? Because you've already lost home court advantage, right? And it's a thing we always talk about, right? You don't want to be in a scenario where it's like, great, now we got to win two of the next three. You're like, right? Mm-hmm. And again, with the way these Pacers play, the Knicks are going to be at their healthiest on game one. They're not going to be as healthy in game two, three, four. Just, and I don't mean like an actual injury. I just mean like in terms of actual.
No, this is a point I want to hit.
In the tank.
Let's stay here, because this is a 7-game series that, again, is going to be every other night. Mm-hmm. Pacers go 10-11 deep. Mm-hmm. Legitimately. Not like bullshit, like one guy comes in and gets a cameo. Like, no, if you look at their playoff rotation,
yeah,
you have 10 guys. 11 guys averaging at least 9.5 minutes per game. And all of them except two have played every single game of the playoffs. Man. That's going down to Jarris Walker and Thomas Bryant.
Yeah, Thomas Bryant had a lot of work in that last series.
That's going down to even Ben Shepherd.
Yeah.
Another guy who can defend.
He can shoot it too.
Yeah, another guy. He's not like super consequential, but like Ben Shepherd will get a shot. Obi Toppin, Rob mentions him in the comments, might get some extra minutes this series. He's another guy that can fly up and down the court and be a damn nuisance. You know what I mean? For this team. And with the Knicks, this is the thing. The Pacers do that. The Knicks go 7-8 deep, 8 at most.
At most.
I think they're going to need to go.
They have to go deeper.
They're going to need to go 8.
Preferably 9, but they don't think they have 9.
Well, campaign.
Well, look, he's going to have to play this series, and he's going to have to play well.
Is he? Because I think Precious Achiuwa to me is interesting in this series. Yeah. I think from a switchability perspective, from a versatility perspective, I know you're going to have Mitch coming off the bench, and obviously you're going to have Deuce McBride. Deuce McBride also, he's big in this series because like you need bench scoring in this series.
He's going to have to shoot it well
this series. He looked good against Boston. Looked very good. And if he could, again, survive at the point of attack against these guys who low-key, like, guards who can be physical as well, Nembhard in particular.
Very like physical.
Big series. If Deuce could hold up in this series, you have earned your money, sir. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the Pacers are going to have to answer some questions about like, what? All right, the Knicks do have a lot of options. Like if OG is hitting shot, if they're getting the OG corner three, mm-hmm, they were in the latter portion of that Celtics series, and OG is knocking those down, that's a problem for Indy.
For sure.
Mikal Bridges, he comes and goes, but he has these 7, 8, 9-point runs where he's just like dribbling into that fadeaway. You know what I mean? In that mid-range area. And obviously he can knock down some threes. He won't get to the free throw line for shit, but he could score, you know? And then obviously Jalen Brunson, you know, like that's where a lot of this is going to ride on. So it's fascinating. I mean, what are you most, I guess, excited about now that we've talked like a bunch of strategy things? Like what are you most looking forward to about this series?
I want to see how Tyrese Halliburton approaches this series. And I think he's matured a lot, Brian, I feel like, in his game and how he plays. You know, he, I thought very much, and he's still young, but very much like, I have to be the star kind of guy, right? I got to be the one taking the big shots and all that. I thought a lot of that last year, particularly somewhere before he got hurt last season. I mean, he was easily all NBA. I mean, through 50 whatever games, I mean, yes, it was not close. Like, he was, I was like, this guy is unreal. Then he got hurt, the hamstrings, and was never quite the same that the last year. This year, though, especially in the playoffs, Cleveland, we're going to face guard you and take you away. And he was fine with that. All right, I'll facilitate. I'll run decoy, right? Because you can't just leave. You can't ignore him because he's an elite shooter, right? Like, so, and he was happy doing other things to get the team going. And if that is sort of this newfound maturity in his game, I love that because he's going to, in many ways, read the game and give the game what it calls for. If I got to do 30 and 10 tonight, fine. I'll do 30 and 10. Mm. Only got to do 15 and 12, fine. I'll do 15 and 12. And if he's able to have that level of, I'll give you what you need, that's going to be just very exciting from a, again, I have no dog in this fight. I don't care who wins. But from a basketball fan, yes, that evolve, that evolution and match and maturity, maturation is like, wow, that would be impressive to me. So I'm curious to see how Halliburton plays this series. Or does he get into a, I got to go back and forth with Jalen Brunson? Because Jalen has to do that for the Knicks because that's how they operate, right? Mm-hmm. But the Pacers have many more ways in which they can score.
I hope the Knicks, all teams make it through healthy. I hope the Knicks get through healthy, though, in particular because Brunson's ankle has been an issue all playoffs. OG's hamstring looked like it was acting up in that Celtics series toward the end. He made some shots last game, but now he gets time to recover. Hamstrings are very tricky.
Sure are.
So we'll see what happens there. And then also Karl-Anthony Towns' thumb. You know, that's
not on a shooting hand.
I don't think so, but still, you know, I'm very, very, very excited for this series. Let's do predictions.
I think Carlisle is a bit more pragmatic and is more willing to tinker and like, right, than Tibbs is. Look, they beat him last year. They're better this year. I know the Knicks are better. I'm going to go Pacers in six.
My initial lean, knee-jerk, has been Knicks in seven. For now, I will stay there. But
any kind of injury is going to change your mind quickly, I imagine.
Because, and I'm not going to say I'm expecting it, but right, like, it's just, it would be a pleasant surprise for them to make it through healthy just because of the pace, the injuries, the lingering injuries is what I mean. But then also just every other day playing against this nuisance of a team.
The Pacers. And it could be one of those things, Brian, where there's an injury. You don't have to necessarily be out. Players can play with it. Like we learned, oh, Jalen Brunson, I was playing on a torn meniscus, right? Like that can happen, right?
Jalen Brown.
So I'm sorry, Jalen Brown, yeah, right? Yeah. So just because they're not out doesn't mean they're not injured, right?
Yeah. And
so,
and at this point of the year, everyone's banged up.
Everyone's dealing with something.
There's worse things there. But I think, by the way, I don't think the Pacers have to win in six. I know that's a narrative that, like, yeah, I'm seeing.
They won game seven on the road last year, so I'm not.
Yeah, like, and home court is just not, like, the Knicks are better on the road. You know what I mean? Home course is not that important. And the Pacers have proven they could win at MSG. They've proven they could win on the road, period. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like against Cleveland, they just closed Cleveland out on the road. You know? Milwaukee, they did not close on the road.
But they beat Milwaukee on the road.
But they beat Milwaukee in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. It's just ridiculous. I cannot wait for the series. Rob comments, Pacers in five. Any other predictions, we will take them because we're about to go. Any other questions, we'll take them because we're about to go. But yeah, these conference finals, I think are going to be great. Not the four teams I would have expected.
No, but honestly,
only one of them. Only one of them.
You expected, yes. I'm excited, Brian. Look, I know we all love LeBron and Steph and Luka. Like, I get it. Listen, KD's my guy. So, of course, I love everybody from that era. But it is so nice to see none of those dudes going to win a title this year. It's going to be somebody different. Like, that's, I love it.
It's
going to
be Shea or Ant or Brunson or Halliburton.
That's awesome. I love that for this league.
Yeah, and it's good. There's a lot of people saying, like, they want Minnesota to win it because Ant. Because they want to see
the face of the league thing.
They want Ant to be the face of the league. And I'm like, you may want that, but I'm not sure the corporate wing of the NBA does.
don't know. I mean, Ant's fine. Like, and this whole idea about face of the league, guys. A face of the league.
No, I'm not talking. I think Ant will be great. You and I would love it if you were face of the league. I just think he'll make some people in the offices nervous just because of his off the court activity. But he's a young dude.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right. And again, guys, that gets decided by the ethos and by your play. It's no like it's just because look. Guys can win championships and not be the face of the league. It's happened before, right? Like, yeah. It's just.
I also don't know why. Does the face of the league have to be American? You know what I mean?
Like, well, I mean, a lot of these xenophobic fans would prefer that.
Like, I know the it's an American league, so people would be like, you would think, but EuroLeague hasn't seemed to have a problem embracing Kendrick Nunn, who's the MVP and has been awesome since he's gone. To Greece.
Shout out to Kendrick Nunn, a Brian Fonseca all-star. For
Panathinaikos. Yo, man, EuroLeague playoffs are going to be, I mean, they're going on, but like the EuroLeague Final Four is going to be great also.
Flares in the stands, all kinds of people. Wow, that's Brian's kind of energy. He likes that kind of.
My next bucket list item is to go to a EuroLeague game.
Now, you want to talk about home court advantage mattering. Were they throwing flares in the stands? That's a league where, oh, no. Home court advantage matters in that league. Let me tell you about it.
Next European trip I go on, although I've only had one, so I'm talking like I've had a bunch. But next one, I'm trying to go to a EuroLeague game. So 2026, we'll see what happens.
I love it.
And Rob says, Taylor Jenkins for Mike Malone, essentially. Do a coaching trade.
That's not going to happen, Rob, because the Grizzlies already hired their head coach in Thomas Ichilo.
Listen, Taylor Jenkins and Mike Malone, Taylor Jenkins especially, I think will get another job quick.
Oh, he will. He will for sure.
Mike Malone should too.
The question is where, right? And yeah, that stuff will shake out, I guess, as soon as the playoffs end.
Don't know. All right. If you were here for this long, I very much appreciate it. Thank you for watching. We'll be back on the channel this week at some point during the conference finals. Otherwise, watch alongs, New York Post, YouTube channel, every Knicks game with Dex and I. We'll be hosting and we'll be talking about Knicks Pacers, and then obviously Caspian Action Network. We'll be potting very, very regularly, and we'll be back here with more to come very, very soon. Follow Gerard, True Hoop, Blue Sky, and also if you like Real Madrid, follow him for that too.
Got that right.
He's got a pot. All right, that's it. Thank you for watching. We'll talk again very soon, and let's go Mets because they're about to play the Yankees.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.